The first couple of chaburos we've been focused on what appears in the Shulchan Aruch as the opening topic, Se'ifim Aleph and Beis, a beginning of a definition, the first draft of a definition of Yichud, and recognizing that it's a function of a possibility of Znus, though not a probability of Znus, and that's why Malkan al Yichud Vein Osrin al Yichud explored the Yichud is an Issur D'oraisa when it's a one-on-one situation. And we explore in the last chabur to some of the scenarios in which there is no issur yichud at all, even like the one-off situation, because of a family relationship, no issur yichud between parents and children. Explore the extent of that and siblings. Last time we also spoke about yichud between a husband and wife when. And she is in Nida. Now we turn our attention, and Shulchan Aruch appears as Sefei, is actually going back to the very beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had opened by not actually addressing Yichud with two people at all, but talking about different scenarios of three. Lo yisachid adam shtei nashim, ava isha achas misyachedas im shnei anashim. The first kula in the study of kulas, the first kula the Mishnah presented, is while Reuven and Eliza alone, that's the problem of Yichud, but if you have Reuven and Shimon and Eliza, so adding that second man, that solves the problem of Yichud. So that's sometimes known as the Heter of Shnei and Hashem, whereas we'll see soon the Heter of Shnei and Hashem Kshirim. It's really, once you have two men, so then you have no Issur Yichud. Again, in Lomdus, really, it's that you can add a shomer, add an additional person. Reuven and Eliezer would be an Issur Yichud. Adding Shimon, so Shimon serves as a shomer to diffuse the concern of Yichud between Reuven and Eliezer. And conversely, even though now Shimon is here, but Reuven serves as a shomer to diffuse any Yichud between Shimon and Eliezer. Now the Gemara, so I'll take a look at the Gemara. Very, very rich Gemara. Let's take a look together. There are three segments to the Gemara. The Gemara is first going to present two different limitations on this hetra the Mishnah had. The Mishnah had said, Shnei Anashim is Mutter. So the Gemara is going to have two different limitations, both presented by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav. And then the third segment is a story, a halachic story, or a semi-halachic story, Rav Yehuda and Rav. And there's a lot going on. Let's take a look. So Gemara says, number one here, the two dots at the bottom, Avi Isha Achas. Misyachedes m'shnei anashim. So the Amar of Yehuda Marav, the Gemara says we're like 6-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Peyamid Beis in Kiddushin. Amar Yehuda Marav lo shano el b'ksheirim, aval b'prutzim afilo be'asara nami lo. We said that shnei anashim is mutzah. It's only the shnei anashim ksheirim, kosher people who presumably are careful. Presumably, it means for now people who are careful in the world of arayos, people who would not violate yichud, certain people who would not be willing to violate znus. But if they're prutzim, the people who are people of loose morals, so then even if you forget about two prutzim of ishachas, even 10. I feel obey asar namilo. The Gemara says have a masav hotziu asar b'mita. Gemara tells a frightening story of a whole group of men. That, as Rashi explains, they took her on a bed. Here, mita means a stretcher. Rashi says a stretcher. That is Arayom Hazeh, the practice in Eretz Yisrael, to carry out a nifter or nifteres on a stretcher. So this sounds like this is a situation, a consensual situation. Hard to know for sure. She was interested in being mezana with a group of men. They were all interested in that. And they couldn't happen in town. It was probably a small village and people would figure out what's going on. So how are they going to get her out of town? They faked a funeral. And they took her out of town on a stretcher. And that way they were able to freely be mezana. So the reason why the Gemara is repeating that horrific story is you see that if they're prutzim, so they're not going to be embarrassed one another. They're willing to sin in each other's presence. So the presence of a parrot, so even many prutzim, does not diffuse a yichud situation. And then Rav Yosef, interesting, Rav Yosef goes on to say, he doesn't have any direct knowledge of a story, but he says, Teda, it must be true, de michbir be'asar v'gan v'kashura. It must be that 10 people can get together and steal an enormous piece of lumber. They're not embarrassed to one another. In other words, right, in other words, everyone's, he says, I never witnessed this. But I know that there have been very large items that have been stolen. Clearly, one person didn't pull off this heist on his own. So it must be, there must have been a whole team that came overnight and they're working together. That's why it's a teda. So how does a multi-person heist ever happen? Obviously, when they're all prutzim, that's in the context of Geneva, it could be true in the context of Raios as well. They're all people of loose morals or will or Rishon, so they're not embarrassed to sin in front of each other, even together. So Rav Yosef says, that's the logic of Rav. That although the Mishnah says that you add a shomer that solves the problem, only if he's a shomer kasher. A shomer paritz does not serve as a shomer. Yeah.
What would they accomplish by faking the funeral when the woman reappears a day or two later or a week later?
I'm not sure. Yeah, we don't hear the end of the story. It's hard to know.
No one knows who's on. It's a covering. Nobody knows. You cover the mace. You cover the mace's face.
Oh, maybe.
That's
to the point.
Okay.
You cover the mace's face. To the point. You
know? It wasn't clear who the nifteris or nifteros. Right. Maybe. I don't know. So then the Gemara says, the Gemara is not done with this first limitation that Rav had given to the Mishnah. The Gemara says, maybe we have a raya. Our Mishnah just says, Shnei Isha Achas Misyachetzim Shnei Anashim, doesn't give us any specifics about the identity or the qualities of the Shnei Anashim. The Gemara says, in Masechta Sota, the first part of Masechta Sota, we may have a raya. What do the Tanam tell us there? So this takes us back to the so we're already touching this a little bit. You have the sota process. So if a woman, there was kinu in stira, the husband said to his wife in front of Eitz Lakim Adavar that he suspects that she's having an affair with someone. So she, altistri mishploni, and then subsequent to that kinu, she is in fact nistera, she's alone, she's secluded with that fellow. So the combination of kinu and stira together render her a sota safek, and Misafek, we're going to give her the status of Isha Shisha Zinsa, Asur Labal, Asur Laboel. However, since it's a Safek, here the Torah promises a miraculous way to solve the problem. To go to, Torah says, if husband and wife will go up to Mikdash, undergo the whole process of Mei Sota, the Kohanim will generate the Sota water, a combination of the soil of the Mikdash, spring water, and erasing the ink from a Megillah Sota, she drinks that. Torah promises if she is a Sota, if indeed she was Mazana, there's going to be terrible physical consequences drinking the Mesota. And therefore, if the test comes out negative, there's no response, she doesn't respond to drinking the Mesota, that is considered to be adequate proof that in fact she was not Mazana, and from that point on, she's husband and wife can continue their marriage normally.
But there's sort of like a lack of trust.
Right. Again, obviously there's going to need to be counseling work. Yeah. Obviously this isn't a healthy situation. Obviously there's this history. Again, whether the husband was correct that his wife was acting inappropriately, but Baruch Hashem she was not Mazana, or whether the husband is totally off base and maybe he's paranoid, or whatever the situation is, and whether they choose to remain married is a separate question. But the sota status is resolved. So the mission describes the steps in the process. One of the steps is that the husband and wife first appear at the local base, and the local base has to talk to them and hear all the details and figure out is this a sota situation or not? And if it is, so then they'll tell them, okay, so we're instructing you to go up to Yerushalayim, and we're giving you an entourage. Mosrim lo shnei tamei chacham sham yavole baderech. We don't send them alone, we send them together with two Talmidei Chacham. So we already saw this, I think, the last Chaburah in the context of, you see that there's a concern of Yichud, it sounds like, our Gemara is thinking about it, that's why the Gemara in Sota is thinking about it, even though what do you mean? I think we saw this a couple weeks ago. Number one, it's only a Chai Ve'Lavin, the Isser between husband and wife when she's a is between husband and wife when she's a sota, is not in a sarkares, and yet the Gemara does make it sound, sota makes it sound like it's a problem of yichud deraisa, so that was interesting in terms of chayve lavin. And then also in terms of the, it comes up in the context of whether or not there's an Isra Yichud to your husband and wife when she's a Nida. Because the Gemara there says, if husband and wife are forbidden to each other because of Nida, there's no Isra Yichud, even that's Isra Kares. Hello, Davar, who over here, it's only Yichav Elavin, and yet there is Yichud. So the Gemara here is interested on the assumption that for whatever reason, whatever the background is, there is an Isra Yichud to husband and wife because she's a Sota. Gemara wants to know, so how do we solve it? Now the Gemara is interested, now we're getting into the nuts and bolts. How do we solve it? So the answer is, the Mishnah says, send two Talmidei Chacham along with it. Most of the Talmidei Chacham, Sham Yovel LeBederach. We're concerned that they may be intimate while they're on the way to Yerushalayim, and that would be a violation of an Isra Lav. So the Gemara says, why are you saying Talmidei Chacham? Talmidei Chacham in and Shiyam alo. Why Dafka Talmidei Chacham? It's people. So apparently, the Gemara says, all right, what do you see? There has to be Dafka Ksherim. So that statement of the Tanam, so the Dav Zayin, that indicates like Rav. So the Gemara says, no, I love Dafka. Maybe it's not the fact that you need Talmidei Chacham, maybe it's not because otherwise you would have a yichud problem, but because you expect them to do more than just be passive chaperones who are by their presence diffusing this for yichud. But in case husband and wife decide on the road that they want to be mezana, they can actually talk to them about it, explain the din, explain the situation, explain that's wrong. Okay, so no raya. Then the Gemara gives another limitation. Even if they are ksherim, lo shana el be'ir. Aval b'derech et shiyu shlosha. The fact that two men are mutter, that's only because they're in civilization. But if you're on the road, if you're in the wilderness, so then it's not enough to add one more person. You have to add two more men. A total of three men and women, that's mutter, but two men and a woman is asur b'derech. Why? So the Gemara explains to him, the Gemara says, if you're in the wilderness, so then soon later someone needs a bathroom, and you're not in the civilization, so that means you're going to have to walk off the trail to the side far enough away that you have privacy, and then it's going to take a couple minutes to come back. So that's an extended period of time. That's long. If it's only two men, if then Reuven, Shimon, Aliza, so if Shimon has to leave for 10 minutes, so that's leaving Reuven and Aliza alone. That's the yichud problem. So because you're away from civilization and there's no nearby bathroom facilities, so in Mela you need to have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi with Aliza. So that way, even if Shimon has to leave, Reuven and Levi remain behind together with Aliza. So that solves the problem. Now the Gemara says again,
how does that solve the problem? So one person goes into the bathroom, and again you've got two men with a woman.
Right. So two and a woman. As the Mishnah said, two men and a woman is mutter. Except that if you're on the road, practically speaking, you have to begin as a party of three men and a woman. So that way, even if one of them needs to leave, two men still remain behind.
But how is that different in the city? Somebody disappears to the bathroom.
Right, because in the city, a bathroom could be 30 seconds away. So you'll be back. You can be back in a moment.
Oh, you're saying...
But here, we know it's going to be... He has to walk a couple minutes into the forest, a couple minutes back. So the travel time alone, you already have a shir yichud. But if you're right around the corner, he's right in the backyard, or the outhouse in the backyard.
It's kind of the Gemara that wasn't so different, was it?
Yeah, so yeah, she just came across earlier today. Rashi in Masechus, the third paragraph of Brachos, who comments, it's interesting, on a history of technology. He's commenting, Rashi, in the 11th century, saying, well, in their time, the days of the Gemara, all the bathrooms were outside. Outside, but still nearby. It wasn't as outside, but there were walls. It had to be built up, so you had privacy. Wouldn't be a long walk, but here you're assuming if you're in the wilderness, it's going to be more of a walk.
Is it two men and the husband?
No husband.
Three men? No, I mean, did the Gemara when we went to Ahmed Aleph shift to no more sota, just the regular?
Yeah. We dropped sota. So the first thing Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman said that the cool of the Mishnah is limited to Ksheir. We tried to bring a Raya from sota, and we said, inconclusive. Okay. Okay. But with or without the raya, we accept what Rav said. And now the Gemara says in that next paragraph, Rav had another limitation. And even if they're ksherim, but the fact that two suffice, that's only two are adequate by ear, but by derech you need three. The Gemara again tries to bring a raya from the same makar and sota. Moslem shit, why two tamei chachamim? Before we were looking qualitatively, why tamei chachamim? Now I want to know why the two. It's not enough to send one Talmud Chacham, we send two. So, that's a raya to two plus the husband. Right, so that's again a raya to this new comment. The Gemara says no. Maybe from a Hilchos Yichud standpoint, one would be sufficient, but we want, in case something happens, we need Aiden so that in the Beis HaMikdash shall know how to respond. So as the Gemara says, the Mishnah and Sota is sort of suggestive of both of the Chumras of Rav, but in neither context is it conclusive. And then after these two dinim, the Gemara then tells a story with the same two people. Both of these comments were on Rav Yehuda and Rav. Now I have a story involving Rav Yehuda and Rav, and the post can point out. The story is rich both in terms of what is said and in terms of what is not said. Rav Yehuda, Abu Kazi Bu'urcha. So Rav Yehuda, they're traveling on the road. In other words, they're hiking on a trail from town to town, from Sur to Naharda, from Pumbedisa to Pumnahar, wherever it is. They're going from point A to point B, traveling together. There was a woman who was walking up ahead. It sounds like they were probably walking quickly. And at a certain point, they realized, now that they're moving quickly, they're beginning to approach the sea up ahead on the road, a woman who's walking the same direction as them, but probably walking more slowly. And now they're getting closer and closer. So Amalei Rav of Yehuda, how do they respond? Rav says Talmud of Yehuda, Dal karach mikam again. Better lift your leg, so we get away from the possibility of Gehenna. Because right now we're in violation of an Iser. We better get out of here as quickly as we can. Let's walk
because
quickly.
They're walking behind the woman?
Well, no, because of, it sounds like because of a Yichud concern. But right now we're just the two of us and her. This is a problem. We better get out of here. So we can't just, we can't whistle for a, can't call for a helicopter. Okay, so we'll walk as quickly as we can so we can overtake and pass her and get away.
Aren't we not permitted to walk behind a woman? Is that...
The Gemara says it's inappropriate. Okay, so maybe they're off to the side a little bit. Okay. Or they did what they could. But they were worried about, it sounds like they were worried about an actual, a simple reading the Gemara. Mm-hmm. They're worried about Yichud because, how do I know they're worried about Yichud? Because the Gemara says that if Yehuda responds to his Rebbe, I don't understand. You're the one who said that Shnei Nashim Ksheim is Mutter, meaning we're Ksheim. Now, it's not really Rav. The Mishnah said, Shnei Anashim was Mutter. Rav's the one who had limited it to Sharon, but the Vaiter, Rav and Yehuda, Gedolei Hadar, we're kosher individuals. Why are you worried about Yichud? Why are you worried about Yichud? Aren't we Sharon? So what does Rav respond? What have you expected Rav to respond? How would you have expected Rav to respond?
You always trying to avoid it.
Yeah, we're Baderach. I'm also the one who told you that Baderach you need three, so we're Baderach. Hello, we're Baderach. As you would expect him to respond. As a matter of fact, you would have expected Rav Yehuda not to have asked a question. It was Rav Yehuda or Rav. They both knew. It's shocking that Rav Yehuda even asked the question. It's even more shocking that Rav does not give as an answer, well, Baderach you need three. And that becomes even more shocking when you see what else he said. Maybe you think, something post the Rishonim will point out. The Gemara could have given an answer A, but Shapim and Hekam Rishonim. We gave a different answer, even better answer. Okay, we could have given multiple answers. We gave one of several. So maybe you think, well, Rav didn't say about Derech. He had some even better, sharper answer. What does he say? The Teretz that he gives is in and of itself surprising, and it's therefore even more surprising that he didn't give the simple answer of about Derech in E3. What does he say? Amalei, he responds, Miyemer de b'ksherim kuhan avat. Well, you thought that ksherim means like you and I. Well, you thought we're kasher. We're not kasher. Who's kosher? Who's considered kosher? It's true that I told you that the Mishnah is limited to Ksheirim, and that's why we're not included. Ksheirim means Kigon Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi V'Chaver. People of the measure, of the level of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi and his Chaver. So the Masoret Shas tells you, and Rashi tells you, the end of the first parak, the Gemara is a series of stories, or of Kahana, or of Tzadok, or Chinim, or Papi, each of whom were Moser Nefesh, literally, to avoid Gili Arayos. So it tells different stories. They were propositioned by various powerful Roman women, each one a different episode, and they were prepared to give their lives rather than be Mazana with the woman. So Rav says, that's called the Kasher. Someone who's been, you know,
Been tested
and succeeded, I trust him, he's a kasher. But you and I, we're plain people, we're not kasher, we're pritzim. Wow. Yeah. So, as I said before, what Rav doesn't say is shocking, what Rav does say is shocking.
Right.
So let's, now, and then there's one other point. And there's one other point. The simplest point, before we get to the what Rob didn't say, the simplest point is it's just worth noting that this is called, they're assuming that this is called a situation of Yichud. I could have imagined, and this Gemara tells me that's an incorrect assumption, I could have imagined, what I mean, outdoors. No Yichud outdoors. Yichud is a walls, a door. Yeah, when the great outdoors, we're hiking, you're hiking, what's the big issue? There are no walls. So you see from the Gemara that you don't have to have walls to have a problem. If it's a secluded space, theoretically it's a wide open space. Anyone could show up, but we don't anticipate anyone showing up. And you can be secluded in the great outdoors also. Well, we'll deal with that more in terms of definitions of what's called a situation of Yichud. We'll deal with that more when we get to further down the Amud. The sugya pesach pasuach, sif tes, open door, closed door, windows, and so on and so forth. That's where we get more into that sort of that part of the that dimension of the halachas. But it's worth noting that this gemara is already telling us something.
Yeah, but they did happen upon each other. They didn't go there together. Like the woman went on her own, and she just happened to bump into these.
She said someone else could show up too.
Right,
that's a good point. Right, it was a public access road. It wasn't one of those private foundation-owned hiking spaces. Presumably, so anyone else could show up. And you're saying it's not like they're in the forest. They're on the road. Other people could show up too. And there's no walls. It is a road. And still, there's a problem with Yichud. Yes, so we're going to have to explore this more. So for now, we'll sort of file this away. Asher's making an important point. Let's file this away. And we get to Pesach. A post can talk there about freaking how often are people showing up. So this is going to be an important gemara to come back. Okay. And now let's come back to Rav does... The defense Rav gave, the defense Rav did not give. Let's first talk about what Rav did say. He did say that we are not Cherim. Cherim is Dav Kachin about Papi, the Chaveru. Now, if you look at the Rambam, you see something remarkable. Look at the Rambam, or if you have a Shulchan Aruch in front of you, Siv Hey, as the Mechaber often does, and particularly in this Siman, and in many other Simanim throughout Shulchan Aruch, he spends a good chunk of what he writes is more or less verbatim quotes from the Rambam. Siv Hey is drawn from the beginning of Halacha Ches, the Rambam's Perek Chav Beis of Yisurei Bia. Here's Siman Chav Beis, Siv Hey. Lo Tzisyachid Isha Achas Afilu Im Anashim Harbi. One woman should not be alone, even with many men. Unless one of these men is married to that woman. So, Aliza cannot be alone with Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Unless, if Zvulun and Aliza are married, so then that's fine. And Zvulun has no problem with Yichud with his wife, and therefore none of them have a problem with Yichud. But normally, a woman with many men is a problem. And similarly, one man with many women is also a problem of Yichud. That so speaks the Rambam. So speaks the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam, the Pirush of Mishnah is here in this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ram says, "Psak halacha." That's how he opens. Doesn't usually say unusual phrasing for the Ram. It appears much nice. Says, "Psak halacha, psak halacha." One man can't be alone with two women. One woman cannot be alone with two men. What just happens? The Mishnah says yes, and he says no. The Mishnah says blue, and he says green. What just happened? Where did the din go? Rav just waved his magic wand, and suddenly the heter of Shnei and Ashim disappeared.
None of us are Kshirim.
Exactly. So the Rambam, that's what the note said, Kenan Maga Mishnah points out, the Rambam took this Gemara at face value. Rav said, we're not Kosher. So the din is gone. If you take a look on the side of the Gemara, the Vilna printers in the 1800s, the Rum family, it was an Almana and her children, owned the printing press, and they're the ones who printed the edition of the Gemara that we have, the Vilna Ram Gemara. So they had access to additional Kisvei Yad that had not been available to earlier printers. So they tried to stick in these added Sfarim wherever they could, including in the margin of the Gemara. So they got their hands on Rabbeinu Hananel, much of Shas, that's where they put Rabbeinu Hananel on the, they fit him into the margin. And here in the Kiddushin, they have the Tosfos Riyazakin, another alternative set of Tosfosim. So look at the Tosfos Riyazakin. Our Tosfos doesn't comment on this Gemara at all. The Tosfos Riyazakin does. So like you have Tosfos Tuch and Tosfos Shantz and Tosfos Rosh, Tosfos Riyazakin. So here in the margin of Pei Alef and Aleph, a couple lines down, Jirmas Umistabra. The Dal Karachim, Marishid Lachis Jin Kainak Dimena, let's quickly walk so we overtake her and get away from her. Umistabras, the Tos Riyazaka comments, the Lefnim Ashuras Hadin Avad, the Chorah, this is a Chumrah of Rav. Sharatzal is Rachaykim Nakir, he wanted to stay far away from anything that seemed inappropriate. What to avoid even the appearance of impropriety. But, the Kosher and Oshman Kshayim Mutter, Avad, the Mikra Hadin, of course he was Kosher, and you don't even have to be Rav, you and I also, we're not nowhere near the Madrega of Yehuda, also, two decent people, called Kshayim. That's what the Riyazak by Tosa say it. The Ran says it. The Ritzva says it here on this Gemara. Ramban has it also. Ramban, you have to find it. It's later on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. The vast majority of Rishonim take that approach. The Rav was being Machmer. Rav was known for his Chumras. There's a work of the Gaonim. Shechteras will every once in a while reference this in Shiurim. Esra Mili de Chasidusa de Rav. Gaonim put together a collection, I think mostly based on different comments in the Bavli, 10 different Midas Chasidus that Rav had. Rav was an incredible machmir. The Gemara says that he never repeated himself. He did not say unnecessary words. Ad kidekach, the Gemara, at some point, that the Gemara will sometimes be medayik. Only Rav. V'ha'amar Rav Chadazim, now why did Rav say this? Didn't he at some other time say this to Talmidim? Why is that such a kasha? I forget who it is who points out. The Gemara only makes that diak in the context of Rav, because Rav had that midas chasidus. He would not repeat himself. He didn't say words unnecessarily. And he had a whole slew of midas chasidus. So this was yet another midas chasidus is this, that he was machmer to consider himself not a machmer. He was machmer to consider himself a parrot, that's an ironic type of chumrah, but that gufa was a chumrah. He was actually an incredible machmir. He was so machmir that he considered himself to be a mezalzel. Yep. But this is all minis chasidus, mikra, din.
Rabbi, you were going to go to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch actually, you started with Sif Hei, and then you went to the Rambam.
So, correct. Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei is quoting the Rambam.
Yeah, I know, but it goes on to talk about Anashim Kerim.
Right? Oh, okay, good. We're going to get there in a moment. Okay. We read the way the convention about the way the Shulchan Aruch is printed, and the middle column of text is a blend of the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Karo, the Sephardi, who lived in Spain and then in Tzav, and the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ashkenazi, who was a contemporary of his, also lived in the 1500s, lived in Krakow. And the way the printers differentiate between the words of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah is that the block letters, two different fonts, the block letters are the Shulchan Aruch and the Ksav Rashi is the Ramah. So we'll get to Ramah in a moment.
Okay,
let's take a look right now. Because the Rama says, V'yesh omrim, the isha achas misa chedesh shmei nashim ksherim, imu ba'ir. Some say, almost everyone says, that there is a din of shmei nashim ksherim. And he goes on to say, on the next page, stam anashim ksherim.
It's not like Rabbi Yehuda.
Stam anashim ksherim. That is, right, so that's the position of the vast majority of Rishonim. The Ramban, and the Ritva, and the Ran, and the Tosfos Rezakin, and the Meiri, who all say that, and I believe the Rosh also, they all say, nah, Avada is a din, and the Rif quotes the din of Shein HaShem Kshem, doesn't leave it out. The vast majority of Rishonim understand that the Rav was saying, was recording a Chumrah. What the substance of the Chumrah is, Ariel Zakin says, you want to stay far away from Kiyur, from impropriety. Then the Meiri...
He didn't want to test himself. That's basically, you know...
Yeah, the Meiri says they were trying to avoid Hirhur.
Right.
That's sort of along with what you're saying. It wasn't Yichud, but he's going to... Just the two of them are going to be alone with this woman for an extended period of time. He's worried he may fall into forbidden fantasies. It's a good idea to get out of here. But that's not a violation of Yichud Mikra Din. The Meiri, by the way, also points out, interesting, the Meiri adds, it can't be Mikra Din. How do I know it can't be Mikra Din? From something I just saw a few minutes ago. What did the Mishnah say in Sota? The most notion to Mechacham. I love also. Gemara said, maybe we could have had one. Okay, the Mishnah isn't clear, but Lamaisa, once you accept Rav, so that's what the Mishnah means. The Tamecham, they're the Anashim Ksheim. The Meiri says, I understand, according to, if you take Rav at face value, who are you finding to send with them? Who every town has, the Rambam left the din at Lagamri. Why did he leave that din Lagamri? Because you need the Rechnir Bar Papi. Basically, it never comes up. So, but every town in the days of Mishnayos had a couple of Chanina Bar Papis to spare? To say, what does it mean? To me, he says, you see from the previous sugya that it's clear that we don't mikra din, we don't mean chani ra papi v'chaveh. That's a chumrah. The Rambam taka disagreed. The Rambam taka did. Shockingly, the Rambam read it at face value, and that's why he leaves out the whole case of shnei nashim sheir. It doesn't come up. It's interesting. There are interesting kulas that flow from the Rambam also, ironically, because the Rambam goes on to say, if you look at the Rambam, it's the next couple lines halacha ches. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, it's the next sivav. Also quote from the Rambam. Nashim harbe im anashim harbe ein choshishin liyichud. You have many men with one woman, many women with one man, that's a problem of yichud. But many men and many women together, that's all of a sudden not a yichud problem. Mm-hmm. Now what's interesting is the Rambam is the one who's saying this, and the Mechaber is quoting it, the Rambam. So that means that even if you are dealing with prutzim, once you have a bunch of men and a bunch of women, that's already a mutter. Presumably that's just called, that's not yichud, that's Rambam. No, they came on to start to have a discussion whether it's two and two, or three and three. I think we usually assume it's three and three. So that's a solution. So that, and I think we accept that also. We follow the Rama. We don't assume the halacha is like the Rama. But even if you are dealing with actual, real prutzim, so many prutzim, the Gemara had said many prutzim with one woman is a problem. But many prutzim with many women, even prutzos, would be mutter. Okay, so that's an interesting kula that emerges from the Rambam's Chumrah. I don't know. My impression is, but I would love to lean in and explore this more. If you want to explore this more, Ashkenazim definitely follow the Rambam. Now the Rambam is quoting a slew of Ashkenazi and Sephardi Rishonim. The Mechaber is actually shocking. I mean, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Ran, all Paskin. The Shnei Nashim Ksheim, Stam Nashim Ksheim. The Mechaber, for some reason, decided to, so surprising, that he chose to just quote the Rambam and not the other Rishonim. I don't remember that he explains. in the Beis Yosef. Did you see it? I don't know if he explains why. He says, he quotes the Rambam, and he says the Magen Mishnah understands that the Rambam understood that a little masa shnei nashim k'sherim doesn't work. Why he chose to pass it, I'm not sure. I'm curious about is what's practical p'sak halacha among Sfaradim is. I believe we're just on the same page. We have two cases where the Mechaber quotes a Rambam with a massive chumrin hilchos yichud. And Sif Aleph, the Mechaber quoted the Rambam who implied that there's no heter yichud between brother and sister. And now in Sif Hey, he's quoting the Rambam who implies that there's no heter v'shnei nashim k'sherim. Even ten nashim k'sherim. Unless you have multiple men and multiple women. A massive chumrah.
Rabbi, what do you think the Rambam does with the halakhas by sota?
I'm not sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard to just... No, but it's also interesting. By sota, they say talmid chachamim as opposed to k'sherim, which is... we don't, you know, nobody's... We haven't gotten into that test either.
The Gemara had assumed, the Gemara had originally posited that the Talmid HaChacham piece might be an return short of the Akshayim. I don't know. So my impression is that Lamas as far as do not follow this Rambam, this Rambam Shulchan Aruch. My impression is even Rav Avadya doesn't recommend it, but because I usually provide this very much a Rambam Mechaber man.
Why would the Rambam hold by Sota? It's three men, so it's a different situation anyway.
But the Gemara had said if you're dealing with prutzim, even 10 prutzim with one woman is a problem.
No, but I'm saying we're not dealing with prutzim, but it's just a question of is there a middle ground between prutzim and kshirim? Because the Rav it says what kshirim is this, and maybe maybe there's like a middle ground, so if you have a middle ground, then three is enough.
Interesting.
But when you don't have a middle ground,
that's interesting.
Two is a problem, but three may.
That's interesting. The problem is that the language of the Rambam and the Mechaber is lo tzisyachid ishachas afil imanashim harbe.
Right.
Not just not with two men, even with many, many men. And there's no differentiation between actual parts versus. In between situation. Yeah, I don't know. We have to take a look. We have a Rambam here, unfortunately. Say for Nashim. You gotta take a look and see how does he quote. They tell you Sar Sashas sends you.
There's one in the back.
Imish Ben Emitza, do we have?
There's a Rambam in the back.
Paragimel Hilchos Sota Halacha
Aleph. It's
underneath
the clock.
Thank you. What does he say? Perigimamach Alp, Ketsa Seder Ashka Soto. Says the Bezin does an intake. And if they decide that this is a valid social situation, Mosin Loshenta Mechacham and Losham Roshem Yavo Lea Kalim Shtia.
But by sota, it's really, I mean, generally there's a heter husband and wife, right?
Right.
In this case, there's a separate Israel law, so
this might not be the normal.
It's not a normal case of yichud. They're there to be shomer to make sure he's not, that the husband is not.
Yeah, the problem is how does the Rambam read the Gemara? Yeah, after how he reads, it's a good point. How does he read the Gemara in Sota Dabzai? I mean, our Gemara, so he said that the details of Talmid Chachamim and two as opposed to one aren't a function of Hilchos Yichud, it's other issues, Sota specific issues. So you're saying maybe Bechlal. Now, maybe the Rambam understood that mitzad yichud is not a yichud issue for another reason, because they're married. Either the Gemara originally thought that is a yichud issue.
That was rejected.
But maybe that's rejected. Maybe. That's interesting. Could be. That's a good point. That's an interesting point. Yeah, maybe. Gotta take a look. I don't see that anyone's talking about it. So you gotta take a look. This is not Frank Arama. Frank Arama may have more in terms of any, seeing if anyone puts that together. Okay, so you're saying the Rama would have to respond to the Miri. It's also interesting, the Miri is usually very aligned in terms of Pirush HaGemara with the Rambam. Rambam isn't directly Mefarash Gemaras. He just gives you how he understands the Maskana is. So there's actually a sefer in the Y Base Marriage. I just noticed it today again. What's the title? It's basically dedicated to showing that very often throughout the Rambam, throughout Shas, that very often you have difficult Rambams. You look in the Meiri explains the Gemara in a way that is probably how the Rambam read the Gemara. The Meiri clearly was very, very unusually impacted by the Rambam in many ways, even in terms of the way he writes. He, like the Rambam, wrote in a Mishnaic Hebrew as opposed to Aramaic. But here, even the Meiri parts ways the Rambam. And even gives a riot again. Yeah. So it's a striking. So again, halachal maisa, ashkenazim certainly don't follow the Ramah. Don't follow the Rambam. And I suspect as far as them don't either. Now, I said before, in addition to the sort of the general comment that the Gemara is clearly implying that there could be yichud even if you're outdoors, spend time on what the Rav did say, which is that we're not kshirim, is that chumra is that mikra din. Then there's a question of what Rav didn't say. What Rav didn't say, or if Yehuda didn't say, or Rav didn't say, is it's about derech. Of course you need three. Again, as I said, maybe if he would have given another easy, straightforward answer, okay, shapim not kamashani. Rav, especially if you think, as most Rishonim do, that Rav was just saying, I'm machmir. I have a personal chumra. What is a personal chumra? It's also mikra din. But derech you need three. What are you talking about? It's mamash apella. Mele according to the Rambam. Okay. According to the Shari Rishonim, now that we appreciate how most Rishonim read what Rav did say, it makes it that much more shocking than he did what he had to give a chumra for. Could have just said mikra din it's us. What was Rav Yehuda's hava mean? And ask him. So I think there are at least three answers.
Can we just say?
Yeah, what do you say?
The whole idea of needing three a derech is because you might have two. Like, somebody might walk away, but when they're just passing by briefly, they're not concerned about that. That one's going to disappear on the way.
Well, that's what Rav said. We better make sure to pass by briefly. And maybe they're very achves, I don't know, maybe they're very tired. They're walking from place to place. They're not driving. So the natural thing might have been, it was a chiddush. Rav said, we better make sure to walk quickly and get away from this. The default would have been, we'll be near her, ahead of her, behind her for the next, I don't know, extended period of time. And Rav is saying, we can't allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. Why not? But you're onto something. Now, I think you could think about what I think are three approaches here. And so there are two extreme approaches, and then there's a middle approach. And Marsha raises this question directly. Marsha says, what do you mean? Baderach. So the Marsha, it's the first piece in the Chiddush Agadus, on this Amun, Pei Alf Amun Alf. He says very, very matter-of-factly, Marsha says, obviously there are other people there also. He says, what? Mm-hmm. He says, the other people weren't Amoraim, so they don't get to be quoted in the Gemara. The Rav may have been walking with several people. The point of the Gemara is to report, we don't hear every single event in the life of Rav. This is a significant episode because Rav and Yehuda had a halachic conversation. So the people that we hear about are the three individuals who are relevant to the halachic conversation. Rav, Rav Yehuda, who were talking to each other, and the woman, without whose presence there would have been no issue, there would have been no yichud problem. But it doesn't mean there weren't other people there also. Marsha is very matter-of-fact about it. Is that Sarach Lomad? Hayu in Rav Yehuda. Oh, no, Hashem Acherim. Otherwise, Maka Kashle, Rav Yehuda, it's Bederech. Of course, you need three. Kuf Lamad, Vakal Lahavan. Our show often rates his comments.
If there's other people, then it's not
considered. Yeah, there are three people. It must have been three people.
Uh-oh.
And there's a third there. There's another fellow who's walking them also. But he wasn't. He was just a good Jew. He wasn't Namor. He wasn't part of the conversation. The Gemara doesn't mention him. But that's the Marashah's thing. Obviously, there were three people. Problem solved. Of course, it's Dinah Baderech. But of course, Baderech, you need three. And there were three. No, nothing to see here. No big chidushim. On the other extreme is the Rif. What's the Rif's Tarek? You see the Rif? Anyone saw the Rif? It's a little bit of a trick question. No one saw the Rif. Because there's no Rif. Exactly. If you look at the Rif, it's actually shocking. We were talking before about the Hashmata of the Rambam. The Rambam leaves out the din. Look at the Rif here. It's a very, very striking Hashmata. Here it's on Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph Bedapi.
What's
Hashmata? Hashmata is when something's left out.
Left out.
Something is not quoted. At the very bottom of Lamed Beis and Lamed Beis Bedapi Rif. Ishachas Mizachas Mishnei Anashim. So he quotes again. The Rif's job was, what the Rif was trying to do was create a halachic digest of the Gemara. Just summarizes, just gives you enough the maskanas. He cuts out the shock of attire, the back and forth. He cuts out the kashas. Often when there are multiple opinions, sometimes he'll quote both opinions and tell you who he passes like. Sometimes he'll leave out the opinions we don't pass like. So here he says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Lashon L'Bekshem L'Prutzna Fil Be'Asara Nami Yasi. Maiso Tziva Basara, Amar Rav Yosef, Shai. Okay? He leaves out the whole attempted Raya from Sota. But then the next thing he says is not, Lashon L'Abir L'Bederachini 3. He goes on to Amar Rav, Malcha Yichir, Ezra Yichir, skips to the next Gemara. He leaves out all of this. He leaves out the second comment of Rav, Loshan al-Bi'ir. He leaves out the story. Why? L'chora, because he thinks that the story was a rejection of that din. Just like, the Gemara has a din of the comment that Dav Zayin in Megillah, Chai Vinish L'Vasumah, and then the Gemara tells a story about the Kam Rabba Shachtler B'Zerah. So one of the Rif's Talmir, Ben Ephraim, says, the point of that story is, we don't paskin, that we reject the halacha, that Chai Vinish L'Vasumah. It's not the only approach to the Gemara, but it's one of the three major approaches of Rishonim. That the point of the story is to tell you how to paskin. So in somewhat similar fashion, the Rif seems understood that the point of the story is, at one point in time, Rav told Rav Yehuda about Derech Yinit 3, but apparently he retracted. Because later when they were on the road, neither Rav nor Rav Yehuda took any notice of the fact they were Baderech. And then you look in the Meiri actually is even more direct about it. The Meiri says almost directly that Baderech you need two. Two men and a woman is Mutter Baderech. So it's very striking. That seems to be aligned with this Rif. So when you're thinking about how did we resolve this Kasha, how come neither Rav nor Yehuda mentioned Baderech in three? So the one extreme is Marsha, who says there were three. Right? There's a normal din of three, and this was a three case. On the other extreme, you have the Rif and the Miri, who seem to say there actually is no din. The whole point of the story, one of the points of the story, is that, you don't need three Baderech. And then there's the in-between approach. In between, the Marsha says, yes, you need three Baderech, and the Rif and the Meiri who seem to say, no, you don't need three Baderech, the Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the tour quotes one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yeruchim was, I believe, a contemporary of the Rush and the Rashba, I believe, maybe a generation later. I believe he's a contemporary of the Rush and Rashba. I believe he's the Talmud of the Ramban. He's from Provence. He wrote very lengthy halacha sefer, told us Adam v'Chava. Here the Marsha, the Darkei Moshe quotes. Kosova told us Adam v'Chava. I think there's some story for why he named his sefer. We are all told us Adam v'Chava. That's humanity. I forget the story behind why Rabbi Yeruchim chose that as the name of his halacha sefer, but that's the title. Sometimes you'll see later from quote the Tuf Alavav told us Adam v'Chava. sometimes more frequently they'll refer to Vayin Ruchem as Resh Yud Vav. I'm not sure why that's the convention. Why of Vav? Resh Yud Re. I mean, many Rishonim are Resh Yud Re. Countless Rishonim are Re. For some reason, the Shach in particular refers to him as the Resh Yud Vav. We see Resh Yud Vav with the double Shrichel. So that's Vayin Ruchem. So what does Vayin Ruchem say? He quotes from the Rama, the Meir Halevi, the slightly earlier, one of the Chachmei Sfar from a generation or two before. The Rama says that the din of Vaderech is only if they are a party traveling together. Because then, says Reuven, if Reuven, Shimon, and Eliezer are traveling together, if Reuven needs to excuse himself for 10 minutes to head off to the side off the path, so Shimon has to stay with her. He can't leave her alone on the road in danger. He has to stay with her. But on the other hand, how's he going to stay with her? They have Yichud problem. So Chacham and Barosho, think ahead and don't put together a traveling party of two men and a woman. Put together a traveling party of three men and a woman. So that way, if one needs to excuse himself, you'll still have two men remaining behind the woman. But the Rabbi, the Darkei Moshe, quotes Rabbi Yerucham, B'Shem the Rama, says, but if you didn't take responsibility for her, so then you just happen to end up traveling together. So if Reuven needs to leave, Shimon can leave too. What's the problem? And that's the teretz. That's the teretz to this kasha. That's the middle teretz to this kasha. Is there is a din of Baderech, but Baderech is limited to when they took Achrayas. Here, clearly, they didn't take an Achrayas for her. She had been walking by herself until 3 minutes ago, until 3 seconds ago. Now, Rav Noah says, hey, there's a woman over there. So that's why Rav Yehuda questions Rav, and Rav responds, neither of them accesses Baderech, not because, on one hand, Marshal says there were three people, nor, as the Rif and Miri seem to understand, because they rejected Baderech, because Baderech applies sometimes, but not in this case. Baderech applies if it took Achrayas for her. Here we clearly didn't take Achrayas. If one of us needs to leave, we both leave. As a matter of fact, that's what we're planning to do. We're planning to both leave. Except it's going off to the side of the road, we're planning to walk ahead and...
The whole point of
three... Get out of the way.
The whole point of three is only so there's always two.
Correct.
But if the two never plan on going to the bathroom, like... in this situation, they're literally like, they happened upon this woman at the same time.
Well, Rob said we better get out. If we're going to stay with her for an hour or two, it's going to be a problem.
Because
of Yichud. So you're going to say, yeah, if we're going to stay for an hour or two, maybe one of us will have to...
Well, why are you going to say, if you have to go to the bathroom, we're done. Like, don't go to the bathroom.
Well, then that's exactly Yeruchim's point. Yeah. Because they have the option of both departing, that's why Baderech was not relevant. That's exactly... You've arrived at Rabbi Ruchman's point. That's exactly Rabbi Ruchman's point.
Why don't you apply the svara that's applied in other aspects of Yichud to Baderech? Meaning, if people leave the road, you never know when they're going to come back. You don't know how far in the forest he needs to go. He may have gone 2 feet.
Right.
He could come. I mean, I'm just having a problem with, because we apply the fact that somebody can come in at any point in time where the door is open and other things. So why don't, we haven't gotten to those yet, but it would seem that some of those concepts should be relevant to Baderech.
Yeah, so it's a very good point. That's what I was saying before. But here, I think that's the crux of the difference that Rav, at least initially, had drawn between... Be'ir and Baderech. But here, even if a fellow needs to excuse himself, he could be 10 steps away, around the corner, right, inside the other side of the wall, and reappear. So the assumption apparently was that Baderech, you're going to, in order to get privacy, the assumption is we're going to see that he's, or if he doesn't, he doesn't. We may see that he's walking. We see that he's walking away. So now we're stuck. Okay, now, so you look at the Rama. So the Rama says, as we saw, Staman Hashem Ksherim. But if they're Prutzim Afilim Asara Aser, okay. And this is V'chol Zeh Ba'ir. This is Dafka Ba'ir. But Basada, it's a problem. You need three. Except that I left out one phrase. Rama says, Aval basada o balayla. In the wilderness or at night, afilo ba'ir, either in the wilderness or at night, regardless of where you are, then you need three afilo bikshir. So what's that layla about? So that's the last piece of this discussion, is that, as they tell you in the parentheses, that's from a Ravid. A Ravid wrote a Sefer Bali HaNefesh, which is predominantly the halachas of Nida. He also talks about Tevila a little bit. He talks about the Hashkafa of intimacy. But most of the Bali HaNefesh is Hilchos Nida, including the din that we mentioned last week, that if she was pierced in Nida, couldn't be Rishona, the Gemara in the beginning of the Ksubas, if pierced in Nida, couldn't be Rishona, so then there is, that's a rare situation, because even though they're married to each other, but because this is Kodem Bir Rishona, so in that case there isn't a Tzir. The Ravid is intrigued by the fact that the Gemara there says in Kit Ksubis, Hu Yashin Bein Ha'anashim V'hi Yashena Bein Ha'anashim. He's with the men and she's with the women overnight. Why not just say you have one person there? And they'll solve your Yichud problem. He's here, she's there. What's going on? The Ravid works on that. So the Ravid says, or part of what the Ravid says, is the reason why you need so many people is because it's overnight. Yeah, during the day. And why is the Gemara tafka stressing, by where they're sleeping? How about during the day also? Where they could be during the day? No shavuot brachas. They need to have some with them during the day also. So why is the Gemara stressing this? So different Rishon have different approaches. But the Ravid sees in that Gemara this idea that when our Gemara in Kiddushin had said that sometimes you need three instead of just two, because of a concern that Baderech, the concern is someone may leave the road to relieve himself. The whole Baderech Bizmana Zeh comes up so rarely. Even if you're traveling on the road, but you have a rest stop that's built up and allows for a decent bathroom use. How baderech is only if you're hiking or something, you're mamash in the wild. But the Ravid points out there's another application of the same svara that comes up every single night, which is nighttime. Because it says, what happens when, forget about it, someone may need to walk to the side for 10 minutes. Someone may fall asleep. It's already nighttime, and you're going to doze off. You're going to doze off, or you actually are going to sleep. So you're going to sleep, so then you're not a shomer. So what are you going to do? So the rabbi says, well, you'll have two people. Instead of just having one additional person, two additional people, and therefore what? So therefore, how does that help you? So if it's just a question of, we're all awake, but it's already nighttime, not in the sense that it's after Tzeis HaKochavim, but the time when people are going to bed, so then you're worried someone's going to doze off. So if Shimon dozes off, Levi will be awake, and maybe he'll make sure to wake up Reuven. But the Rabbi goes on to say, and that's the Ramah's quoting, not only three are adequate when it's late enough that people are dozing off, three are also adequate overnight. That's why the Rabbi sees in that Gemara and Ksubas, because Gemara and Ksubas is trying to figure out, in the case of Kal Shapir Sanida Karmbi Rishona, how do you figure out where's everyone sleeping? So the Rabbi says that the way Rabbi Schechter formulates this is that a sleeping shomer is a half a shomer. That Reuven, Shimon, and Eliza are alone. If Shimon's sleeping, so that's not the same as Shimon being awake. On the other hand, a sleeping shomer is not as effective as an awake shomer, but he is more than zero because there's a chance that he'll wake up. So the chance that one person is going to wake up is not the same as actually having an alert, awake person. But if you have two people, who each of whom is might wake up, so two sleeping shomer are the equivalent of one awake shomer. Or again, the Rashi says, sleeping shomer is half a shomer. So you have two sleeping shomer are the equivalent of one awake shomer. That's what you see, that's what the Ravid sees in the sugya. All of a sudden, this din of baderech, which at first seems so, especially in our Mitzia, it seems so remote, Balayla comes up all the time.
For the Ravid, you said his raya was the fact that we say ha'isha im ha'anashim and isha with the nashim, right?
Yeah.
Because why doesn't it just say one other man?
Right.
So even now, you could ask, why doesn't it just say get two men? Why does it have to go through the whole, you see, the isha's with anashim, that you could still say the same thing, just now.
I think he talks about that. I think he says that is... I gotta look back in the writing. I think he says that is what it means.